Jesus was a man of compassion, a man of great compassion. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for the anointing of the Spirit of God upon this broadcast. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today we're in the first chapter of Mark, and I shall read to you beginning with the 39th verse. And he, that is Jesus, preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Now, friends, today I want you to know that Jesus' ministry was primarily a ministry of preaching. Yes, I want to go into the healing ministry of Jesus, or the compassion ministry of Jesus today, but before I get into that, I want you to know that Jesus primarily came to preach. Jesus' preaching should be more important to us than his healing. In this first chapter of Mark, just a few verses up, we find Jesus spending a long, early morning in prayer. And when he was done praying, he said to his disciples, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Jesus said, Let's go preaching, for that's what I came for. It says, For therefore came I forth. Healing will not save you. Thousands upon thousands of people were healed, and in some places it says Jesus healed them all. But that did not make them go to heaven. It is once they listened to what he said and did what he said, then entrance was made for them in heaven. I want you to know that Jesus did more preaching than anybody else in all of human history in any three-year period. I decided to look up the Bible references to the words preacher, preached, and preaching. There are 97 of them, and of the 97, one is found in Psalms, 7 in Ecclesiastes, 1 in Jonah, 9 in the Old Testament altogether, but there are 88 references in the New Testament to preaching. We have to be careful in these days that we do not allow music, drama, entertainment, Bible studies, discussions, and workshops to drive the preaching out of our pulpits. Jesus said, Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. May the Lord raise up more and more young men who will give themselves to the preaching of the word. One of the greatest needs we have today in our churches is for more expository Bible preaching. Now then, getting into our text for today, Jesus was the greatest, most compassionate healer there ever was. So, my friend, Jesus was the greatest preacher there ever was, and Jesus was the man of the greatest compassion that ever walked on the face of the earth. So while he was going through these towns preaching, he met various people. And here was one who was a leper. And again it says, There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying to him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand. Now let me talk to you about compassion. What is compassion? Jesus was moved with compassion. When it comes to faith, my friend, I told you over and over again, faith must be separated from our feelings. If you connect your faith to your feelings, your faith will go up and down and up and down all your life. So you must disconnect faith from feelings and connect faith to the promises of God, the unchanging promises of God, to the character and to the nature of God, which is invariable, which does not change. But when it comes to compassion, it's the opposite. Compassion must be disconnected from fact and must be connected to feelings. The biblical compassion, the Christian compassion, goes back to the Greek root word though the Greek root from which comes our English word spleen. A spleen, that's an organ in the lower body in the abdominal cavity. And so when we talk about compassion in the biblical sense, we talk about the bowels of compassion. We talk about this area deep down below the diaphragm. Don't you see? We talk about an area where there is no reasoning, where there are no rational faculties, where there is no thinking going on. So it says here, when Jesus saw the leper, he had compassion on him when he saw him in his incurable, hopeless condition, when he saw his white skin, when he saw him ostracized from society, when he saw him in his poverty. Something happened down deep inside of him, my friend, as you may call it, in the gut area, down deep inside of his body, that made him reach out to the man and touch him and say unto him, I wilt be thou clean. Christian compassion is tied to the emotions. Christian compassion is not a matter of the mind. It's a matter of the feelings deep inside of us. There's a beautiful passage in the first epistle of John, the 3rd chapter, verse 17, where the apostle John says this, But whoso has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shutteth his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? The same Greek word employed for compassion here in the apostolic writing of John is also employed in Mark chapter 1, where Jesus was healing the leper. So we need to have bowels of compassion, and in a sense we can define Christianity as Jesus coming from heaven to open his bowels of compassion to all those who seek his help. The whole process of salvation, of God helping and blessing, comes out of the bowels of compassion of our Lord. We can say that practically every human being on earth lives in the bowels of the compassion of Christ. So compassion is the opposite of faith. Faith must show a cold shoulder towards feelings. But compassion is indelibly linked to our feelings deep within. Compassion says, forget about the facts. Don't even think about the facts. If somebody has a need, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, I'm ready to jump in and help without making a prior judgment on the character of that person. Even though the man asking for help may be a sinner, even though the man asking for help may be a backslider, even though the man asking for help may be someone who's caused me trouble and given me insults in the past, and before I can even think about who he is, what he's done, and before I even can analyze him, evaluate him, and judge him in relationship to his character and his worth, I'm already reaching out towards him and lifting him up. The compassion's first response is not from facts, but from feelings. Our text says in verse 41, And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand. So there was nothing in the Lord Jesus that said, Now, who are you? Who are you? Let me check your credentials. Let me see if you're a believer. Let me see if you're a good believer. Let me see if your church record is good, if your attendance is good, whether you've paid your tithe. Let me see if you ever opposed a minister or caused a church split. Let me see, my friend, if you have the kind of spirit and character that once I heal you, that you're going to follow me in appreciation. Oh, my friend, this is all missing in this text, because when Jesus saw the man, the leper, crying out for help, Jesus was moved with compassion and he put forth his hand without any evaluation, examination, or review of the past behavior of this man. Jesus simply touched him and healed him, saying, I will be thou clean. I have a feeling, my friends, that deep inside of too many Christian hearts there is a judgmental spirit, that is a critical spirit. There's an analytical spirit that has dried up the wells of compassion. So-and-so has done so-and-so to me, and therefore I don't think I ought to help him. And therefore, I don't think I ought to bless him and lift his load. As a matter of fact, this man, I think, really gets what he deserves. Oh, my friends, this judgmental, this evaluating spirit, this critical spirit, dries up our bowels of compassion. and opens up the door to the spirit of the Pharisees coming into our lives. Dear ones, all over as I read the gospel, I see Jesus opening his bowels of compassion towards anyone who asks him. So Jesus goes to Samaria. It's another story here. And here he meets a woman at the well, my friend, who lived with five men, and now she lived with a man that was not married to her. This is sin, downright sin. So according to Jewish law, this woman should have been stoned six times over. But here comes Jesus, the holiest of all, and he opens his bowels of compassion, and he forgives the woman, and she believes in him, and the woman becomes a wonderful, godly, holy woman. Again, Jesus goes to Jerusalem, and now there's a woman that's caught in the very act of adultery. Again, Jesus opens his bowels of compassion, and he forgives her. And then he says, go and sin no more. Friend, you would not be a good Christian yourself had it not been for the bowels of compassion, the compassion of Jesus. So I believe in holiness with all my heart. I do not believe, however, that in holiness we need to, or we should, close our bowels of compassion. Let me say this again. I believe in holiness. I don't believe in a holiness that has closed its bowels of compassion. I don't believe in a holiness that measures, that counts, that cannot forget past insults or sins. I do not believe in holiness without compassion, which is holiness that kills. It does not save anyone. In the long run, it will not even save itself. Oh, my friend, aren't you glad that Jesus came from heaven and he opened his bowels of compassion for all of us? There's not a single one who's ever made it to heaven without having been in the bowels of compassion of Jesus Christ, because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, my friend, I'm glad that I'm not getting what I deserve. If I had just committed one sin in my whole lifetime, just for the sake of one sin, because of the holiness of God, I deserve an everlasting hell. But Jesus came from heaven and opened his bowels of compassion. And so here he comes in his preaching mission. He sees a leper. The leper asks for help. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, he says. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Oh yes, that's what Jesus has done for me. He has heard my cry. He was moved by compassion. He stretched forth his hand. He pulled me out of the mud of sin, and he has made me clean. That's what he has done for you, or wants to do for you, if you call upon his name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these moments together. We thank you that through Jesus Christ, your character has been revealed more fully to us this day. Deliver us from a judgmental spirit, a critical spirit towards others. But may that great compassion that is found in you be found in our lives as well. And we give thee the praise and the honor and the glory. Amen. If you like to know more about our ministry and find some more resources of helpfulness, please contact us on our website, www.schulze.org. Again, that's www.schulze, that's schulze.org. You get more information there on discipleship training. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now, until next week.